We would like to welcome you.
This has only just begun.
He has the ability. He has the technology. He has the desire. Aaron McCready. He's ready to rip it up.
This is amazing stuff.
Are you ready for him?
Do it. Do it.
Make some noise! Aaron McCready. Let's go.
Well, hello, everyone. Everyone, that is, that cares more about your country than football games. We are in a time of peril, a time that we all need to come together and take back our country, a time that our country is going down the tubes, and we need to save it. As you know, I am a strong opponent of the Obama administration. They have been a dismal failure. He has been a dismal failure, and we need to do whatever we can to make sure that we oust Barack Obama, that we fire Barack Obama, you know, coming up in November. It has just been a horrible, horrible 3 years. But we'll get more into that later. Today's episode, we're going to talk about the SOPA Act. And then we're also going to have a rundown of the presidential candidates. Tomorrow is a big debate in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It's going to be on Fox News at 9 p.m. And so that will be very interesting. Also, it's going to be do or die time for a lot of the presidential candidates. As you know, Mitt Romney has won the first two primaries in Iowa and New Hampshire, and you know, it's just do or die for the rest of the candidates. I think the people on the hook is going to be Rick Perry, Newt Gingrich, John Huntsman. So we're going to see how those folks turn out. You know, they can make it into Florida, but if they can't win in the South, the first primary of the South, then I think it's going to be all Mitt Romney's. But, you know, if people oppose Mitt Romney and they do not want him to be the Republican nominee, then we're going to have some of the other Republican nominees drop out pretty quick, because I think all the others are splitting the vote against Romney. Romney is having a hard time, you know, getting above 25% in the national polls. So we will see what happens with that. But right now it looks like that Romney is in the lead in South Carolina. He actually took the day off today from campaigning, which I'm not a big fan of Romney, but still, if it was him and Barack Obama, that would be just easy. Romney would just crush Obama. Any one of those Republican candidates would be infinitely better than the king himself, President Barack Obama. But we're going to get into the SOPA Act today, talk a little bit about that. Also, I'm going to talk just a little bit, just briefly, on the Marines that were urinating on some of the dead Afghanis. I want to talk a little bit about that. And then also want to talk a little bit about something that was said by Harry Reid today. He spoke about that he wants the Republicans to distance themselves from the Tea Party, which, well, we'll just get into that later. I'll just stay focused right now. But one thing we're going to talk about is the SOPA Act. That is a big deal. If you're not aware of what SOPA is, it's the Stop Online Piracy Act. It was introduced by a Republican in Texas, Lamar Smith. He announced the Stop Online Piracy Act back in late October. And, of course, he knew it was going to be controversial, but I don't think that he ever thought that it was going to get as much publicity as it did. Several companies are opposed to them. Several online companies, internet providers, you name it, going down the road, there's just a slew of people that opposes it. Google, Yahoo, it's just going to be just a nightmare, in my opinion, if it passes. Google, Facebook, Twitter, eBay, Mozilla, Yahoo, AOL, LinkedIn, they all wrote a letter back in November, November 15th, actually, to key members of the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives, saying that the SOPA Act poses a serious risk to our industry's continued track record of innovation and job creation, and as well to as well to our nation's cybersecurity. And Yahoo, rumors have it, they had actually quit the U.S. Chamber of Commerce over their organization for the support of SOPA. But I'm going to play this clip for you real quick. It's going to give you a description of SOPA. And also, there's another act. It's cousin. It's called the Protect IP Act. And this particular clip talks about the Protect IP Act, but is extremely close to SOPA. But just take a listen on that, and then you're going to get my viewpoints right afterwards. And if you want to call into the show, the number is 646-200-3400. The number is 646-200-3400. And we're going to play this clip for you right now, and I want to get your take, and you'll also get my take on it right after you listen to this.
The Internet is one of the United States' most robust and growing industries. It enables free and open communication among billions, and it's been the backbone for protests around the world. But a new bill proposes to give the power to censor the Internet to the entertainment industry. It's called Protect IP, and here's how it works. Private corporations want the ability to shut down unauthorized sites where people download movies, TV shows, and music. Since most of these sites are outside U.S. jurisdiction, Protect IP uses a couple different tactics within American borders. Firstly, it gives the government the power to make U.S. internet providers block access to infringing domain names. They can also sue U.S.-based search engines, directories, or even blogs and forums to have links to these sites removed. Secondly, Protect IP gives corporations and the government the ability to cut off funds to infringing websites by having U.S.-based advertisers and payment services cancel those accounts. In a nutshell, that's what Protect IP will try to do. But in all likelihood, it'll do something else altogether. For starters, it won't stop downloaders. You'll still be able to access a blocked site just by entering its IP address instead of its name. What Protect IP will do is cripple new startups because it also lets companies sue any site they feel isn't doing their filtering well enough. These lawsuits could easily bankrupt new search engines and social media sites. And Protect IP's wording is ambiguous enough that important social media sites could become targets. Lots of trailblazing websites could look like piracy havens to the wrong judge. Tumblr, SoundCloud, and early YouTube, wherever people express themselves, make art, broadcast news, or organize protests, there's plenty of TV footage, movie clips, and copyrighted music mixed in. And even if you trust the U.S. government not to abuse their new power to censor the net, what about the countries that follow in our path and pass similar laws? People around the world will have very different internets, and unscrupulous governments will have powerful tools to hinder free expression. But perhaps most dangerously, Protect IP will meddle with the inner workings of the net. Experts believe by fiddling with the web's registry of domain names, the result will be less security and less stability. In short, Protect IP won't stop piracy, but it will introduce vast potential for censorship and abuse while making the web less safe and less reliable. This is the internet we're talking about. It's a vital and vibrant medium, and our government is tampering with its basic structure so people will maybe buy more Hollywood movies. But Hollywood movies don't get grassroots candidates elected. They don't overthrow corrupt regimes, and the entire entertainment industry doesn't even contribute that much to our economy. The internet does all these and more. Corporations already have tools to fight piracy. They have the power to take down specific content, to sue peer-to-peer software companies out of existence, and to sue journalists just for talking about how to copy a DVD. They have a history of stretching and abusing their powers. They tried to take a baby video off YouTube just for the music playing in the background. They've used legal penalties written for large-scale commercial piracy to go after families and children. They even sued to ban the VCR and the first MP3 players. So the question is, how far will they take all this? The answer at this point is obvious. As far as we'll let them.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty scary to me. You know, once we start giving up a little bit of our liberty, a little bit of our freedom, that is a slippery slope. The entertainment industry, you know, I think that they think that they're a little bit bigger than they really are. Yeah, they make good movies. Yeah, they're fun to watch. But if you take a listen to them, I mean, listen to their politics. You know, their politics are out of touch. They're out of touch. And, you know, they're pushing this through using their celebrity status to infringe upon the rights of you and I. The same, which is a little bit ironic, the same celebrities that are pushing this, you know, got Obama elected. However, you know, I don't agree with Barack Obama on a lot of things. I wish he wasn't our president, and I know for, you know, that he will get defeated. I mean, there's no way around it. I mean, he has to get defeated. But Barack Obama himself has joined the ranks of the skeptics of SOPA and the IP, or Protect IP Act. They just announced not too long ago, a few days ago, that they are looking into this, and they actually a quote that they said that they will not support legislation that reduces freedom of expression, increases cybersecurity risk, or undermines the dynamic, innovative global internet. So, you know, I've got to give it to the Obama administration on this one. They've, you know, they may hit the mark on this, but this is going to be the only thing that they've hit the mark on. Also, Representative Daryl Issa, Republican of California, is a SOPA opponent. And, you know, keep in mind that SOPA was introduced by a Texas Republican. So this is getting support from both sides, Democrats and Republicans. And there was actually supposed to be on January 18th a hearing that Representative Issa was going to conduct, but that actually has been postponed. And he said that while he remains concerned about the Senate action on the Protect IP and SOPA Act, he's confident that the flawed legislation will not be taken up by the House. So, you know, what he's saying, even though the Democrats or Republicans in the Senate may take it up, the House may decide not to vote on it. And then in that case, that legislation is dead. But one thing that the SOPA Act will also do is going to make it a lot easier for your computer to get hacked. It is undercutting the efforts to protect your internet protocol address. It's going to open that up. It's not going to allow you to block your IP. It's not going to let you to encrypt as much. So all these businesses, banks, retail organizations, credit card, financial, whatever the case may be, it's not going to allow as much encryption. And what do you think the hackers are going to do? They're going to take full advantage of that. So you need to get in touch with your congressman, your senators, House of Representatives, members of the House of Representatives, even the White House, because, you know, Barack Obama will eventually have to sign this, but he has already stated that his administration is concerned about the SOPA Act. And, you know, it frightens me too. Everyone here on Blog Talk Radio, for instance, sharing their viewpoints. I mean, hopefully we don't use the word, you know, the real thing, or just do it. I mean, Nike might sue us, and then Blog Talk Radio is shut down. We actually have a caller online. We're going to go to him right now. Welcome to the show. What can I do for you? Colin, you're on there. Okay, I guess they did not want to talk. But, well, I mean, we've got to do something about this. This is just absolutely insane. You know, we're going to start giving away our freedoms. Before you know it, you know, we're going to have to be wearing chips. I mean, I'm just being sarcastic on this one, but, I mean, you never know. There's just no words for it. Also, one of the things with the SOPA Act is that one of the things that they're concerned about is if you do not encrypt properly, if you do not expose your IP address, then you may have to go, from what I'm reading, through the FBI servers. Now, you know, if that's not government intrusion, you know, I don't know what is. You know, we have got to do something about this. We've been down a slippery slope, and, you know, since the Patriot Act, and the Patriot Act had its good points, but also has bad points. When the government can detain a United States citizen indefinitely because they think he or she may be involved in some type of crime, then we are doomed to fail as a country. One of the things that makes the United States so great is our freedoms, our liberties. Listen to Ron Paul. Now, again, I'm not a big Ron Paul fan, but when it comes to liberties, he does care about the United States citizens' liberties and tries to protect them. You know, it does not come to me right now as far as who exactly said this back in our the history of our nation, but one of our founding fathers said that, you know, if you give up liberty for security, you're doomed to fail. And, you know, we're going down a slippery slope with this, with our finances, with our economy, with the president of the United States that we have right now. You know, back in November, Almighty One Barack Obama ripped the In God We Trust vote in the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives voted to reaffirm the In God We Trust as nation's motto. And Barack Obama's response to that? Somebody take a wild guess. Well, I'll tell you. That's not putting people back to work, he said. I trust in God, but God wants us to help ourselves by putting people back to work. You know, Mr. President, how have you done? How was that stimulus? How'd that work for you? You said we would not go, you know, we would be below 8%, below 9%. Look where we're at right now. And that's not even counting the underemployed. If you count the underemployed, the people that want, you know, to work full time, but can't because they can't find something, and they're just taking whatever comes their way, whether it's, you know, flipping burgers at McDonald's, picking up trash on the side of the road. You know, the unemployment is 18% if you look at that. And I say this time and time and time again, and I know I'm going on a tirade on Barack Obama, but he is absolutely a pathetic president. Pathetic. We've got somebody on the line here, comrade. What can I do for you?
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Nigga. I'm 100.
All right. Thank you, comrade. You're being kicked off there. All right. Anyhow, we've booted him from my switchboard. Now, you know, that is not a great way for us to get our point across as Republicans, as conservatives, you know, disrespecting the presidency, disrespecting the office of the president, you know, by saying like that, if that was what you intended. Oh, gosh. I tell you, and you know, people like that's going to make us lose the election. Anyways, Barack Obama in his first 1,000 days in office, let me just tell you, if you're not aware, I've said this many, many times, but in his first 1,000 days in office, the U.S. debt increased by an average of $4.2 billion with a B, per day. The government has spent more than $9.6 trillion, about 60% more than Washington took in. Now, let's dumb this down a little bit and think about you and I. Now, if we went and we spent 60% more of what we took in, how long do you think we're going to last? Well, if we continue to spend 60% more than we take in as a country, how long do you think we are going to last as a country? I don't think we're going to last very long. That's why we have got to get our heads out of our hindquarters, and we have got to elect a Republican as president. Not because they're a Republican, but because any one of those Republicans are infinitely better than the president that we have right now. You know, 2 days ago, or 3 days ago, it was the anniversary of Jimmy Carter back in 1971 being elected. It was actually his inauguration as governor and of the state of Georgia. And I never thought we would have a worse president than Jimmy Carter. But here he is, Barack Obama. But anyways, I think you guys understand my point about him. But we're going to move on. I do want to talk about the Marines also. Back in Afghanistan, and this actually just did not recently happen in Afghanistan. It actually happened 6 months or more ago. And as you guys know, the Marines over there were some dead Afghanis, and they decided, you know, to film or tape them urinating on these dead Afghanis. But if you're not familiar with this, which if you're not, then I think you've been living under a rock. But here's from Fox 5 News. Here is a update on that, and to get you up to speed. And then, again, you're going to get my take on that. And then we're going to take a call.
You've probably heard about this YouTube video of Marines appearing to urinate on the corpses of Taliban fighters. Well, it's now circulating the globe, and today world leaders are responding. As expected, it is creating a heightened anti-American sentiment overseas. Fox 5's Laura Evans is following today's developments from the newsroom. Laura?
Sean, it's not often the Taliban, the U.S. government, and the Afghan president agree on something, but one thing is for sure, they are all condemning the video of the Marines. The Naval Criminal Investigative Service is on the case, and they now have the names of at least two of the men in that video.
Utterly deplorable. That is how Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta is describing the video. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton expressed total dismay.
It is absolutely inconsistent with American values. Anyone found to have participated or known about it, having engaged in such conduct, must be held fully accountable.
And the leaders of the International Security Assistance Forces, or ISAF, agree.
Any acts which treat the dead, enemy or friendly, with disrespect are utterly unacceptable and do not represent the standards we expect of coalition forces.
We now know, according to Pentagon officials, these Marines are attached to 3rd Battalion, 2nd Marines, which returned home to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, last fall. Back in Afghanistan, President Hamid Karzai is calling on the U.S. military to punish the Marines, describing the act completely inhumane. Local Afghans, meantime, are outraged and disgusted.
The U.S. soldiers who urinated on dead bodies of Muslims have committed a crime. Since they've committed such a crime, we don't want them anymore on our soil. We don't like foreign soldiers to be on our soil. They have to leave.
Retired U.S. Army Colonel Lisa Windsor spent 2 decades as a military lawyer and says the Taliban could use this video as a recruiting tool.
They make the enemy fight harder. They make the enemy fight longer. They turn the civilian populace against the American troops and against America.
And the timing is not good here. The U.S. is just about to enter peace talks with the Taliban, trying to end the more than decade-long war in Afghanistan. Analysts say this incident may give the Taliban another reason to stall and the Afghan leader another reason to balk.
Now, that kind of describes what happened. But the last time I was on the air just a few days ago, you know, I I said that I was just disgusted with what happened, and that that, you know, in no way reflects the American values. And it doesn't. It doesn't reflect the American values. But you know what? It doesn't reflect the American values, you know, urinating on dead Afghanis. But you know what? They were members of the Taliban. And I don't know if America has forgot about Daniel Pearl, the journalist that got his head chopped off by the Taliban. I don't know if America forgot about the soldiers that's been captured, that's been shot, that's also been decapitated. I mean, have we forgot about that? But then we're all in an uproar about soldiers peeing on dead Afghanis? I've never been to war. I've not fought for this country. But from what I know, and from what people tell me, and what I read, war is pure hell. Pure hell. And if you're fighting for this country, and you have people that are shooting at you, that are killing your friends, killing your comrades, killing the people that have your back, that help protect you, and you have a couple of dead Afghanis right there, and you pee on them, well, and they're dead. I mean, my goodness, you killed them already. How much more disrespect can someone get than shooting somebody? I mean, really. You know, at least when we peed on them, they were already dead. When the Taliban tried to decapitate our citizens, we were still alive. And people are upset because, oh, the Taliban might get upset. They might get an uproar. It might want them to fight more. Well, whoopity-doo. If that's the worst thing that we've done is pee on some dead soldiers, I think that's pretty darn good. We don't capture them. We don't chop their heads off. We don't torture them. We don't pull their fingernails out. We don't go rape and pillage and hold the women hostage. Try to suppress the women. We don't go and try to brainwash children to hate other countries, to hate other people. If peeing on a dead soldier is the worst we can do, then that's pretty darn good. In my opinion. You know, I saw a tweet the other day that, you know, we should have put them on fire and then peed on them to put the fire out. We're getting an uproar over peeing on our enemy. They're already dead. We already killed them. My goodness. Maybe I'm just cold-hearted. Maybe I am just a hateful human being. Or maybe I just love my country too much. Of course, the people that need to hear this are out watching football right now because evidently our country takes a sidetrack to football in the time that our country needs us the most. Anyhow, we are coming up on the half hour. We're going to take a couple minutes break. We will be right back in just a second, and then we're going to talk about the debate and then also about Harry Reid, some of the crazy things that he said here lately. We will be right back in about 4 minutes, and then we will continue to take some of your calls and talk about Harry Reid and the debate tomorrow, and then also the South Carolina primary, the first in the South, coming up on Saturday the 21st. We'll be right back.
would like to welcome you. This has only just begun.
He has the ability. He has the technology. He has the desire. Aaron McCready. He's ready to rip it up.
This is amazing stuff.
Are you ready for him?
Do it. Do it.
Make some noise!
Aaron McCready. Let's go.
Well, everyone, we're back. And if you missed the first half hour of the show, I was a little bit on fire talking about our military deciding to use the bathroom on the dead Afghanis, which I think is perfectly fine. Also, we talked about the SOPA Act. If you're not sure what the SOPA Act is, you can go back on and after this episode and listen to the first half of the show. And, you know, that's just something that's going to take away some of our liberties and some of our rights and just be devastating to anyone that's on the internet, whether you post a video on YouTube. And I had a caller a couple of days ago say that, you know, if you have your picture taken or if you have a video taken and you're on YouTube and Tony the Tiger, you know, is in the background on a cereal box or a cardboard cutout or what have you, then who's to say the Kellogg Corporation won't come and sue you for, you know, copyright infringement and having Tony the Tiger in your YouTube video? And then, according to how the SOPA law is written, they could shut down all of YouTube. And imagine if you owned a business and you had a saying on your business, but for some reason, somewhere out there, some corporation had that same saying, and you, you know, through no fault of your own, no malice toward anybody, decided that, you know, that was going to be your logo or your saying, or you just typed it on a blog. Well, guess what? Copyright infringement. You're shut down. And if you have an internet business, or you rely on the internet to get leads for sales, then you're in a world of hurt. We're going to go to the phones real quick, and then we're going to talk about our fabulous Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid. Adam, you are on the air.
How about them Ravens? 2013 over Texans. Bye.
See, what is with you people and you callers that are calling into the show today? If you're going to not take things seriously, then just get off the phones, get out of the blog, just get off of my site. The country is at great peril right now. Then to have these idiots call in and decide to waste my time and your time and saying the N-word one caller did earlier, played some stuff in reference to Barack Obama, and then this guy gives us a score update. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Anyhow, we're going to talk about our great Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, and he wants the Republicans to drop the Tea Party because the Tea Party is too extreme. Oh, the Tea Party is too extreme. Well, let me ask you, Mr. Senate Majority Leader, when have you spoken out about those occupiers? Occupy Wall Street, Occupy Atlanta, Occupy San Francisco, Occupy the toilet. When have you been outspoken about them? I don't recall that you've been outspoken, but you know what? This is the same guy that won re-election over in Nevada, and then he had to work a couple weekends, but he missed his pomegranate trees. He said on the floor of the Senate he wanted to go back home because he missed his pomegranate trees, because he had to work too hard. Well, I am sorry, Mr. Senate Majority Leader, that you're having to work too hard, but do you know how many people that want to work, that can't work, that would love to have your job and your salary? Because you're doing absolutely nothing. But let me play this clip of Harry Reid and his pomegranate trees.
And this has been a pretty hard work period we've had. Last two weekends and working late. And I think the Senate deserves to be able to go home as soon as we can. If there were ever a time when we need to work with our constituents, it's now. And for me personally, I've been here for a long time. I have a home in Nevada that I haven't seen in months. My pomegranate trees are, I'm told, blossoming, and some pomegranates on them. I have some fig trees and roses and stuff that I just haven't seen. So I have constituents that I'm anxious to see, friends I need to visit with, relatives I need to visit with. So as soon as we can complete our work, I would like to move as quick as I can to the summer recess period.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's who we have running our United States Senate up in Washington, D.C., someone who wants to go see his pomegranate trees and not conduct the business of the people. A Senate majority leader that can't get a help with a budget. I mean, how often do we hear, oh, deadline to have a budget, they're going to have to extend it by 2 weeks, by 2 months. And then 2 months, 2 weeks goes by, and then we have to do it again. Why can't we be more proactive rather than reactive? These are highly educated people. These are people that we elect to go represent us. Why can't they do our business in a timely manner? I don't know. But he calls the Tea Party extreme. Well, let me tell you, if you're not familiar with the foundations of the occupiers that want to take down capitalism, and I'll tell you how I know that in just 1 minute, but one of the groups that helped organize and help found the occupiers is called the Adbusters Media Foundation, and they're up in Canada. And they're a not-for-profit, anti-consumerist, pro-environment organization, which pro-environment's just fine. But they're an anti-capitalist, and they're opposed to capitalism. Now, that's one of the things that makes this country great, capitalism. You know, that's when's the last time a poor person hired you to have a job? I don't want to work for a poor person. I mean, my goodness, they're a poor person. You know, they won't be able to pay my bills or give me the money to pay my bills. That's what makes the United States so great. You can come to this country from other countries like they did in the boats and the ships, you know, coming through New York Harbor, passing the Statue of Liberty. People all over the country come to this country for the capitalism, to come and make a life better than they had in their home country, a life better for their family so their kids can grow up, so their grandchildren can grow up better off than they were. You can open up a business. You can do well for yourself. Yes, businesses fail. Yes, it's hard sometimes. But you know what? You work a little bit at it, and you put a little sweat and tears and blood into it, you know, and that builds your character, and there's no other country in the world better than the United States than to try to make a living for yourself. And that's all because of capitalism. And these losers, these occupiers, want to throw that all away. Back in November on Michelle Malkin's website, and I don't know if she still has that on there, michellemalkin.com, she had some pictures of the occupiers, I believe, in Oakland, California. And I've got it right here flipping through it. They went to a Wells Fargo bank, threw bricks through their windows, spray painted across the Wells Fargo sign, sprayed, you know, put anarchy symbols on it. They had tents, and they had F the police. Let me flip through here some more. Death to capitalism. And here's one. Here's one they put on a lobby, a window of a lobby on a building. The Frank Ogawa Plaza in Oakland. Tax the 1% in a question mark, and it says axe the 1%. Abolish banks and wage slavery. Fight directly for communism. Fight directly for communism. And then there's another picture here. Capitalism killed my rights. That's your occupiers. That's the people that Harry Reid will not stand up to, will not call out. But then the people that are actually for the Constitution, the Tea Party extremists, as he calls them. Yeah, maybe the Tea Party's extreme, because you know what? We went so far to the left, we're trying to right the ship. No, it's just so frustrating. He also, in the interview, said that he thinks that the Tea Party is on its way out, because as the economy gets better, then the Tea Party will go away. Again, this is the same Harry Reid that back on October 19th of 2011 said, private sector jobs have been doing just fine. Go down the street to a strip center and see how many openings you see that the strip center has because a business has went out. Go into an industrial park and see how many industries and how many people lost their jobs because the private sector jobs are doing just fine. That's the Democratic Party for us. That's what we have running our country. And that's why it's so important that every one of you go out and support the candidate of your choice. You know, even if it's a Democrat candidate, at least you'll be going to vote and you'll be making an educated decision on what you believe is right. If we had more people do that, more people take the time to get the facts, then we would be a better country. Okay, we're going to go to Adam. He wants to talk about the SOPA Act. Adam, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to thank you for taking up the SOPA Act as a topic on your show, and I'm glad that you disagree with the act. I called in on your last episode.
Well, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous what they're trying to do. And, you know, when you called in the last episode, I wasn't that familiar with it. But the more I looked into it, the more I got infuriated, the more I got enraged, and just think that, you know, that's a good way for all of us to go to jail. I mean, how many times are we in a conversation, as people, and we say a saying or say a phrase or type of phrase that has become pop culture, but it might be a saying or a trademark of another company, and then they could shut us down and throw us in jail.
Right, exactly. Think what it's like. You get 5 years in jail or something.
Something like that. It is just ridiculous.
I mean, even if you link to a website that has copyrighted material on it, they can throw you in jail for that. I believe it was a U.S. citizen in Britain that the Obama administration sent to take him out of Branton and put him in jail. He didn't even link. He didn't have any copyrighted material. He just linked to the website on his Facebook account.
Yeah. Well, it's just ridiculous. But, Adam, I appreciate you calling in. We're going to move on real quick to the presidential debate coming up tomorrow at 9 o'clock on the Fox News channel. And there's one thing that I am just thrilled about this debate coming up. First of all, it's South Carolina. It's the South. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm from the South. You know, enough about Iowa, enough about New Hampshire. Let's go in the South and talk some Southern politics. That's what I like. But one thing that I'm really excited about is that it's on Fox News. And Fox News, even though they're not perfect, they do lean more to the right. I will say that. But they do try to be fair and balanced. But the ABC debate the other day, and I'm going to try to get this in really quick because we're running out of time. We only have about 11 minutes left on the show. But the ABC debate the other night had George Stephanopoulos. And, you know, I've been practicing saying his name, Stephanopoulos. I can't pronounce that name very well. But for those of you who don't know about old Georgie, he came to fame when he was the first press secretary for Bill Clinton. Now, let's take a look at this for just a second. He was the press secretary for Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton is a Democrat, and Bill Clinton's wife currently works for Barack Obama. And he's the moderator of this debate on ABC. And you don't think that he's not going to be a little biased toward the left or try to hammer the Republican candidates up there, make them look bad so the president can win? His old boss, his wife, works for the president, the one that put him, you know, in the limelight, in the spotlight. But I just want you to take a listen to this real quick. This is, I also played this on my last episode, but I think it's so important as to the liberal media and how they're trying to make the Republicans look bad. And that's why it's so important that you and I, we go out there and we tell people, you know, what it is that we stand for, why it's so important that we go vote. But just take a listen to this. It was a confrontation that Mitt Romney and George Stephanopoulos had in this last debate over contraception. And George Stephanopoulos was just trying to hammer Romney and just make Romney look bad. And listen to this, and then you'll get my thoughts on it.
Governor Romney, I want to go straight to you. Senator Santorum has been very clear in his belief that the Supreme Court was wrong when it decided that a right to privacy was embedded in the Constitution. And far from that, he believes that states have the right to ban contraception. Now, I should add that he said he's not recommending that states do that. Well, I'll
be clear.
Absolutely. I'm giving you your due.
We're talking about 10th Amendment and the right of states.
But I do want to get to that core question. Governor Romney, do you believe that states have the right to ban contraception, or is that trumped by a constitutional right to privacy?
George, this is an unusual topic that you're raising. States have a right to ban contraception. I can't imagine a state banning contraception. I can't imagine the circumstances where a state would want to do so. And if I were a governor
of
a state or a legislator of a state, I would totally and completely oppose any effort to ban contraception. So you're asking, given the fact that there's no state that wants to do so, and I don't know of any candidate that wants to do so, you're asking, could it constitutionally be done? We can ask our constitutionalist here.
I'm sure Congressman.
Okay, come on back.
Do you believe that states have that right or not?
George, I don't know whether the state has a right to ban contraception. No state wants to. I mean, the idea of you putting forward things that states might want to do that no state wants to do and asking me whether they could do it or not is kind of a silly thing, I think.
Governor, you went to Harvard Law School. You know very well
Has the Supreme Court decided that the states do not have the right to provide contraception?
Yes, they have.
In
1965, Griswold v. Connecticut.
I believe in that the law of the land is as spoken by the Supreme Court, and that if we disagree with the Supreme Court, and occasionally I do, then we have a process under the Constitution to change that decision, and it's known as the amendment process. And where we have, for instance, right now, we're having issues that relate to same-sex marriage. My view is we should have a federal amendment to the Constitution defining marriage as a relationship between a man and a woman. But I know of no reason to talk about contraceptions.
Supreme Court decision finding a right to privacy in the Constitution.
I don't believe they decided that correctly. In my view, Roe v. Wade was improperly decided. It was based upon that same principle. And in my view, if we had justices like Roberts, Alito, Thomas, and Scalia, and more justices like that, they might well decide to return this issue to states as opposed to saying it's in the federal Constitution. And by the way, if the people say it should be in the federal Constitution, then instead of having unelected judges stuff it in there when it's not there, we should allow the people to express their own views through amendment and add it to the Constitution. But this idea that justice...
Should that be done in this case?
Pardon?
Should that be done in this
should
case?
Should this be done in this case to allow states to ban contraception? No. States don't want to ban contraception. So why would we try and put it in the Constitution? With regards to gay marriage, I told you that's when I would amend the Constitution. Contraception? It's working just fine. Just leave it alone.
George. I understand that, but you've given two answers to the question. Do you believe that the Supreme Court should overturn it or not?
Do I believe the Supreme Court should overturn Roe v. Wade? Yes, I do.
Well, there you go. That's the liberal media for you. You know, trying to make the Republicans look bad. And it doesn't matter about the Democrats trying to make the Republicans look bad. It's just that they're not being fair and trying to have played gotcha questions instead of getting the facts out so the American public can make an educated decision on who we want as president of the United States, or at least run for president of the United States against Barack Obama. We're going to go to our phone lines right now. We're going to go talk to David. David, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up?
How are you doing?
Good. I just wanted to make sure that was me. About the whole Mitt Romney thing, I believe I listened to that whole thing, and I still think he's wrong.
And why is that?
Because I don't think that states should ban contraception. My friend wants to know if we can backtrack to the Marines because he's listening on right now.
Oh, sure. Go ahead.
Oh.
What do you want to talk to about the Marines?
That whole Marines thing where they peed on other people.
Right.
Well, we think that it's... Well, I think, anyway, that it's wrong. And we would just like to say that now that the Marines are fighting the battle toads, I mean, that we shouldn't be disrespecting their corpses.
Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever fought in a war?
No,
I haven't. Have you ever saw that your comrades, your buddies, be shot at? Have you ever had, you know, been in a country where the enemy wants to decapitate you?
No, I have not. But right now, man, we're fighting the battle toads, man.
Now, what do you mean the battle toads?
We're fighting the battle toads. Have you ever heard of Operation Battle Toad?
No. Why don't you let me know about that? And we got to hurry. We only have 4 minutes on the air.
All right. Sorry. What Operation Battletoad was a Navy SEAL plan, Navy and Marines. What the Battletoads were, was a scientific experiment done by the Taliban, actually, to turn toads into fighting forces. And they took hostages.
You're talking about toads, as in frogs.
Yes. And they took hostages so they could... They took... not the battle toads, but the Taliban took hostages so that they could... put the toad's DNA into the humans, and we had to go in and sweep up the place.
So let me guess, you're a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan.
No, actually.
I mean, this sounds just crazy to me.
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy. I mean, you can look it up on CNN or Fox.
Right.
I mean,
right. I'll tell you what, if you're more worried about toads, I mean, that's just a sad situation.
No.
And that is just a sad situation. You're more worried about toads and
most,
you,
I mean,
you know,
no, I mean, so far most of the info is classified.
Well, then how do you know it, David?
Because...
If it's classified, how
I
do
said,
you know it?
I
if it's classified,
most,
how does Fox News have it?
I said most of them. Most of the info is classified. Not all of it.
Well, who are you voting for in the election?
I'm actually voting for Ron Paul. But
and why is that? I mean, I like Ron Paul. I disagree with some of his politics, but why do you like Ron Paul?
Shit. Just because he's been consistent over years. He's the best candidate. I mean, he's been consistent since the 80s.
And I mean, that he has. I mean, and you know, one thing I like about him is he's he definitely defends liberty, and he's done that, you know, since. And I think he was very close with Ronald Reagan also.
Yeah.
So, we have about just a few seconds left. But David, I appreciate your call.
Okay.
I definitely don't look into your battle toads. I disagree with you, but. But, you know, I'll look into that, and maybe we'll talk about it on the next episode. Just you know, keep coming back to the page, see when the next episode is going to be. It's probably going to be Tuesday at some point. we're going to nail down the time. But, David, thanks for joining us.
Okay.
And there you have it. I think, you know, Minnesota girl in the chat, I think she was getting frustrated and aggravated too. She said, thanks, Aaron, when I changed the subject. But anyways, we've got about 60 seconds left. We're going to have another show probably on Tuesday, maybe not, but you need to go to blogtalkradio.com/AaronMcCready, AaronMcCready. You can also follow us on Twitter, and we broadcast live from Twitter, from Blog Talk Radio, and from Facebook every time we have a show. You can also listen to our episodes, previous episodes, on blogtalkradio.com/AaronMcCready. As always, it's been a privilege and a pleasure to have you all, and we will see you next time.